Thank you for tuning in today, and welcome to Grace Living for Everyday Life. The objective of this program, through teaching and interviews, is to help those who do not have a relationship with Jesus to discover the joy and simplicity of knowing Him, and for those who know Jesus, that they may discover the source of Grace Living, which is Jesus living through us. Your host, Bob Jones, will guide you through these teachings and interviews. We hope you find them helpful and enlightening. And now, here is your host for today's program, Bob Jones.
Today, I will begin the second section of the series called Resting in Jesus' Life. In the first section of the study, I discussed three topics. The first topic was, how do you become a Christian? Simply put, we receive Jesus into our life. We accept His free gift of His death for the forgiveness of our sins and His resurrection from the dead. In baseball terms, Jesus batted a perfect 1,000 batting average on our behalf. And when we accept His free gift, we become God's children. The second topic was, as a Christian, who are we? We're on God's team. We have God living in us and are given all heavenly blessings in Jesus. And the third topic of the first section of the study was, what kind of life is a Christian called to live? And since God lives in us, they want us to express their love and good works through us in a unique way as we learn to depend upon them. The second section of the study, Resting in Jesus' Life, has to do with the opposition we face in the spiritual life. And today I'll discuss the first topic, why does a Christian still have a bent toward wrongdoing? You know, you would think, with the God of all creation living in us and working through us, that we should live out our Christian life in relative ease. Yet each one of us know that our Christian life is a battle. If God desires us to live a godly, loving life and do His work, then why do we as a Christian still have a bent towards wrongdoing? This oftentimes can seem like a cruel joke, but actually is a stroke of genius by the God family, as I like to call them, the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. When we become a Christian, we entered into an intimate relationship with the God family, and their objective is that we continue in that intimate relationship, that we might know them and depend on them as our very life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And the only possible way to begin to overcome our bent towards wrongdoing is by practicing resting in Jesus' life. In essence, we can't live the life they are calling us to unless we remain dependent on their power and strength. In John 15:5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." A fruitful life brings to mind the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And this is a description of God's fruitful life. When we try to live the Christian life in our own strength, we sooner or later make a startling discovery. We can't do it. This part of us that has a bent towards wrongdoing is called by a number of names depending on your Bible translation. The King James Version calls it the flesh, indwelling sin, old man. The New American Standard calls it the old self or sinful nature. The bottom line is, you can call it what you want, but if we are honest, we all know we have it. This part of us is a spiritual klutz, always doing the wrong thing no matter how hard we try. It's very important to realize that this bent towards wrongdoing is part of us until the day we die, but is no longer how the God family views us. They view us as saints, their children, fully accepted as having a perfect 1,000 batting average. For our discussion today, I'll refer to this bent towards wrongdoing as our flesh. Jesus was very clear on His view of the flesh. In John 6:63, He said, "The Spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing." The flesh has a zero spiritual batting average. It's important to more clearly define our bent towards evil called the flesh. I'm not talking about the human body being inherently evil in itself, nor am I referring to our personality. Some of us are introverted, some are extroverts. We all have different temperaments with their unique strengths and weaknesses. God's created us all uniquely with different talents, abilities, and giftings. The flesh is the part of us that drifts towards wrongdoing and even messes up good things. James 1:14 appears to imply that we all have designer lust. It states, "But each one of us is tempted when his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed." And this is the reason why each of us can look at each other and think, "Boy, I'm sure glad I don't have that person's problem." And they're thinking the same thing about us. In baseball jargon, operating in the flesh is like trying to hit by ourselves at home plate or playing on the other team. And both are incorrect attitudes. I would equate trying to hit by ourselves at home plate as trying our best to live the Christian life in our own strength. And this is kind of leaving God in the dugout. The Bible calls this walking by the law. Galatians 3:12 states, "The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them." In other words, as a Christian, we can attempt to produce God's life by our own strength and effort versus relying on God by simple childlike faith to work with us and through us. Trying to produce the fruit of the Spirit or overcome sin in your own strength doesn't work, as we all prove on a regular and frequent basis. Our intent may be wonderful, but trying to live a godly life in our own strength is like trying to hit 100 mile an hour major league pitching with a plastic bat. You're going to end up batting zero. In the 7th chapter of Romans in the Bible, we hear of the Apostle Paul's attempt to figure out why he couldn't stop coveting, even though his intent was good and he wanted to do God's will. You've heard people blame their evil behavior on "the devil made me do it." The Apostle Paul tops that one and says the reason he sins is because sin living in him does it. It sounds like a giant cop-out, but Paul is trying to explain the dilemma of why trying our best to overcome the sinful bent of the flesh doesn't work. As we discussed previously, the only possible solution is to let the God family come off the bench, put their arms around us, and swing the bat with us. And this is what resting in Jesus' life is all about, practicing a life of dependence, drawing on God's power to produce a godly life. You know, often, as Christians, we could get really disgusted trying to live a godly life in our own strength, and some have given up altogether. They decide it's easier to just play on the other team and give in to a sinful lifestyle. But Galatians 5:13 tells us not to use our freedom to indulge the flesh. You know, even as we are learning to rest in Jesus' life, the reality is that we often alternate back and forth between both these behaviors of trying to produce godliness in our own strength or indulging the sinful passions of our flesh. God wants us to depend on their power in order to grow in Christ's likeness. And as we discussed in the previous sections of this study, developing our timing at home plate with Jesus is still a lifelong process. Also, it's important to recognize some of the sinful characteristics of the flesh as described in the Bible. Hearing a list can be quite disturbing. Galatians 5:19 through 21, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery," which means a general term for wicked living, "idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like." 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5 states, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." And continuing with 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, "Do you not know the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And believe it or not, this is only a partial list. Looking at this A list like this should make us rejoice that Jesus paid the price for our sins, offers us eternal life as a free gift, and makes us part of God's family. As I discussed last time, our flesh exhibits the exact opposite characteristic of God's love as described in 1 Corinthians 13. Our flesh is impatient, unkind, it envies, it boasts, it's proud, it's rude, self-seeking, easily angered, holds grudges, delights in wrongdoing, to name a few. And this is why Jesus said the flesh profits nothing. Well, how do we control this fleshly sin machine? Well, that's like asking, how do you overcome the pull of gravity? We need a new power beyond ourselves to do the job. Through Jesus, we have the law of the Spirit of life, which is like the law of aerodynamics, which allows a plane to overcome gravity. We are to be continually practicing resting in Jesus' life by the power of the Holy Spirit to counter the pull of the flesh toward sinful behavior. You know, as we all know, we may often find ourselves overcome by temptation. Often the pressure of life can overwhelm us. It's like facing a 100-mile-an-hour big league pitching. The pitch can be in the catcher's mitt in a split second, and sinful behavior can occur in an instant. Well, what are we to do? The Bible calls us to repent. 2 Corinthians 12:21, Paul the Apostle admonished the Corinthian Christians, who were referred to as saints, to repent of their impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged. 2 Corinthians 7:1, Paul writes, "Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." The word repent means to change our mind. We are to change our mind from walking by the flesh, either by self-effort or indulging the flesh. And then we're to be practicing resting in Jesus' life, appropriating His forgiveness and His resurrection life, which is ours. As a child of God, we have access to the throne of God. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may have mercy, receive mercy, and find grace in time of need." I personally appropriate 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." The idea of confession simply means to agree with. I'm agreeing with God that He's right and I'm wrong. I'm then appropriating the forgiveness and cleansing power of His blood applied to my sins as His child, which are mine. Now I'm ready to resume practicing resting in the power of Jesus to produce the life that only He can. As we all know, it's easy to get off track, but we can get back on track quickly and resume practicing walking in the Holy Spirit. The God family doesn't kick us off the team or throw us out of the family when we sin, but will put pressure on us through child training to move us to repentance. Hebrews 12:1-12 picks up this theme of God's discipline to move us to repentance and dependence to progress in Christ-likeness. The heart of fleshly behavior is independence. It is wanting to do our own thing independent of God. The Bible says that whatever is not of faith is sin, and this is stated in Romans 14:23. Therefore, operating and seeking our own will independent of God is a characteristic of fleshly behavior. God wants us to depend on them in all we do. Listen to Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all our heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight." This means God will bring us to our appointed goal. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. If your life is anything like mine, you're going to be doing a lot of praying as we practice appropriating God's love, power, wisdom, as we grapple with the emotional upheaval of our daily life. Psalm 68:19 reminds us that praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Also, part of our daily relationship with the God family is praise and thanksgiving for their total acceptance and faithfulness to us. When I wake up in the morning not feeling well, pondering the fact that the God family accepts me based on what Jesus has done on my behalf gives me great comfort. Also, thinking about the fact that God, the Creator of heaven and earth, lives in me encourages my heart, and knowing they are willing to help me with any of my daily burdens. And one of the daily burdens is our flesh. We're continually being tempted and tried in many ways in daily life, but knowing we can rest in Jesus' life for all contingencies is a great blessing. We're all beginners at appropriating the tremendous riches that are ours in Christ, but at least we can know what to practice. It sure beats wondering why you can't live the life no matter how hard you try. We can spend literally years beating our heads against a wall, and a lot of us have the knots on our heads to prove it. Practicing resting in Jesus' life offers hope for besetting sin, since it offers a totally new approach of overcoming sin by tapping into God's power. Beside the struggle with our flesh, daily we're assailed by the struggles and difficulties of life that evoke all range of emotional distress. In addition, we experience satanic opposition in this world. And our next topic in our series, Resting in Jesus' Life, will be how does Satan and demonic forces use the world system to hinder us? I hope you'll join me for our next program.
This concludes today's program of Grace Living for Everyday Life. Thank you for listening. If you would like to contact Bob Jones, you can email him at bob4gracewalk@yahoo.com. That's bob4gracewalk@yahoo.com. Or you may contact him through the online community section of this website. We hope you will tune into the program next time, and have a grace-filled day.